Sometimes we need a little bit of supernatural help, like the angels did to win the pennant. And what did he say? He said, the little kid, he said, you just have to believe. And sometimes I think we struggle with that. We have a hard time with that in the life. And this morning, we're going to continue looking at Nehemiah. And he was a man that had a heart for God's will. And as we talked about Nehemiah last week, we looked at the first chapter. In the first chapter, Nehemiah was praying this heartfelt prayer. God had put in his heart something that was bigger than himself. And that was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And we're not talking just, you know, a brick wall you have at your house. We're talking, this is really a brick wall. Thick, tall. In fact, I don't know the exact numbers, but the Babylonians' wall in that time were 380 feet thick. 100 feet tall. Okay, so we're talking walls. Now, I'm not, you have to do your research and find out how thick the walls are in Jerusalem, but you get the idea. They didn't mess around when they built walls, and God had put it in Nehemiah's heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild these walls, and his prayer in chapter 1 was to God, Lord, this is my desire. And then he repents. He says, Lord, forgive us of our sins as a nation, as a people. And then he said, Lord, forgive me for my sins as a personal prayer. And then he asked that the Lord would show favor to him as he speaks to the king. And right after that, very shortly after that, he has this moment where he is in front of the king. And we're not just talking the king of one country. At that time, the king, Artaxerxes, was very powerful. And he was looked upon as a ruler over most of the world. He made waves. He made a lot of impact in what he did. And so Nehemiah, as he's the cupbearer, he is the servant for the king. He tastes the wine and the food for the king in case it's poison. So it's a very touchy, scary job in general. But then so Nehemiah has an opportunity to talk with the king, starting in chapter 2. And I want to read to you chapter 2. I don't have it on the screen, so hopefully you have your Bibles. I'm going to just read to you a few verses, 1 through 8, first 8 verses. Okay, so Nehemiah 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lying in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? What is it you want? Then I prayed to God, the God of heaven, and answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors were buried so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because of the gracious hand of my God, but because his hand was on me, the king granted my requests. This morning I want to talk to you about a phrase in that passage. And I want to parallel it. I want to show you a couple stories in Scripture that parallels with that. The king asked the question, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He was honest. Nehemiah was honest. He was afraid. And he said under his breath, oh Lord, help me now. This is my moment to speak up. And he asks the king for this list of things to build the temple, or the walls, to rebuild the walls, which would not be possible by himself. It was bigger than himself. It took a lot of faith for Nehemiah to go and do this. It took a lot of faith for Nehemiah to pray and trust the Lord that God was going to provide. And so the question that the king asks Nehemiah, he says, what do you need? Jesus has said that a few times in Scripture. Do you know any of those stories? Jesus has asked the question, the same question that he's asked you and I, or that he's asked a few stories in here, and he asked that of us. So God desires to rebuild our lives. I don't know, someone, I think it was Dell we were talking, I'll put him on in the spotlight, but he and I were talking about the walls of Jerusalem. And if you think about them being destroyed and going and rebuilding walls, you wouldn't just go and take the bricks and take the mortar and you just start building on top of the rubble, right? You wouldn't. You'd have to be a long process. You'd have to take all the rubble. You'd have to take all the junk out of the way and then start rebuilding. And so, in our lives, I want you to take a minute, and if you would do me a favor and just close your eyes for a minute. And think about your life as a broken wall. And what are the things in your life that God's working on? That God is restoring, that he's rebuilding. Okay, you can open your eyes. Jesus asked the question, like the king in Nehemiah asked the question, what can I do for you? There's a story in the Bible of a blind man in Mark 10. And I have it up on the screen. No, I'm sorry, I passed by that already. So the king said to Nehemiah, what is you want? The next one, yeah. Mark 10, 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked the question, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, Your faith has been healed. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This man was determined. Jesus said he had faith. Because of his faith, he believed. He cried out to Jesus, saying, Have mercy on me. And then Jesus responds, What would you have me do? Well, I want to see. And Jesus gives him his sight and heals him. You know, this week has been overwhelming. We have had bombings. We have had earthquakes in Arkansas, in Iran or Iraq, somewhere. China. We've had bombings or explosions in Texas. We've had people die just across the street. And there's this brokenness in our world. And God wants to restore that. Just imagine for a minute. Jesus is here. He is. But let's just pretend that he's standing here, physically standing here. And he's asking you the question, What would you have me do? What would you say? Think about it for a minute. I'm not going to have you tell me, but what would you tell him? Maybe it's to restore a relationship in your life. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's maybe you're in transition right now. Maybe you don't know what tomorrow will bring because you are waiting on a job. I know a few of you in this room. Maybe it's you're struggling with something internal, spiritual, emotional. Don't tell me you're not struggling with something. We are all broken. Just like the walls in Jerusalem, with all the rubble and all the brokenness. And God wants to restore that. He wants to rebuild that. It is a tremendous analogy or a picture of what God wants to do in our lives. And Nehemiah, because of the brokenness, he weeps. And he mourns. And yet, then the next step after that, in chapter 2, he says, O Lord, you've put it on my heart. I will step out in faith and believe that you will resource me to get this done. You know, sometimes I think we don't think Sometimes I think we don't think that God has the resources to rebuild the walls. I want to refresh your memory. I want to refresh my memory that He has all the resources. Right? He has all the resources. I hope it's the next one. But I have a slide of a verse that says that God owns everything. He owns everything. For every beast of the forest is mine. That's God speaking. Every beast, every animal, everything. And then he says, the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're not going to go into that passage because it elaborates into more of what who God is and things like that. But I want you to get the idea that every resource that you need to rebuild your life, to rebuild the walls in your heart, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, if you are sick, if you are unhealthy, if you are struggling, if you have cancer, if you have someone who passed away, if you're looking for a job, if you're trying to rebuild your marriage, if you're trying to rebuild the relationship with your son or your daughter, I mean, God has every resource you need to rebuild those walls in your life. And so we're reminding ourselves this morning that God owns every cattle on 1,000 hills. Right? It's a lot of hills. It's a lot of cattle. Yeah. And so Jesus asked the question to the blind man. What would you have me do for you? And he asks you the same question. Are you blind? Are you sick? Are you hurt? Maybe somebody has really, really damaged you emotionally. God can restore that. He can rebuild your life. And maybe it's just as simple as a transitional period in your life and you don't know what's next. And God is putting together something. Lonnie mentioned about us coming here. That was a huge shift in building the walls in our lives. It was a total different city where God wanted to build walls around here in Sweet Home, not in Paris, France. And we were telling this story to just the Ramseys just a few days ago, and how this is God's plan. It's the best choice. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what 10 years, 20 years down the road. But today, here, is where God wants us to be. And so, what's next? He wants to continue to rebuild our lives on the physical side, but also on the emotional side and on the spiritual side. He wants to ask you that question, and he wants to hear your response. What can I do for you? Now, that's a question that you can take, you can copyright it, you can take it as your own. Because we're all Jesus followers, right? I hope. And if you are a Jesus follower, you can use that question and you can ask people that question. Because sometimes you really don't know what you can do. Right? We were talking to our neighbor who lost a friend, a husband. I'm not sure where they were in their relationship. Sierra said it was her stepdad. We don't know, but they lost a loved one. And we're just standing there crying with this lady. Her name is Rose. And we gave her some flowers. And I'm just asking the Lord what he wants us to do. And I said, well, we're going to be praying for you. And typically I try and take a little more courage than that. And I say, can I pray for you right now? And she said, yes. And so as we're crying together and we're praying together, God is moving. And I can't fix it. You can't fix it. But God can fix it. God can restore anything. He has all the resources. And he gets the king, God, gets the king and moves the king over here and says, pour out your resources because I own everything. And so you have all the resources because you know Jesus. And he wants to give you those resources. And so when we come to a place in our lives where we're broken, where we're distraught, we're in despair, where we're this week I was thinking at moments of just like, speechless. Like, what do you go into despair? Do you become depressed? I mean, what do you do? Well, I think what we do is we go back to God's word. And we follow what it says. We obey it. And what does it say? Trust the Lord. Obey his commands. Walk in his footsteps. He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. You can say it the other way, right? 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And Jesus asked the question. And I think what I want you to get this morning is it is directly, sincerely pointed at you. Not at just, everybody, but individually too. I'm not just talking to you as a corporate body of Christ. I'm talking to you as individuals. If Jesus was sitting right next to you, what would you tell him? Because each and every one of us have different struggles. We have different temptations that we deal with every day. We have different wounds. We have different rubble that has broken and is in ashes. And God wants to restore that. And so my question for you is, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? There's a verse in Luke. I don't have it on the screen, so just turn to me to Luke 11. And this was really cool because Cindy mentioned this passage to me this morning, and it was on my mind as well. And that is is it 11? It's 11:9. Yeah. Starting in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, this is what Jesus is teaching on prayer. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. I have a friend of mine on a journey. They have come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened. And I would like to tell you this morning that no matter what you ask, it will happen every single time. It doesn't necessarily happen that way. God's will is his will. His ways are higher than our ways. But it does say in here to keep asking. And what happened in the story? The person was persistent, right? Continuously, always asking. If you have someone in your life that you've been praying for a long, long time that they will come to know Jesus, keep praying. If you have a broken relationship with someone in your family, keep asking. Because God's will, I hope you agree with me on this, is to restore relationships, is to restore broken walls in our lives. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but when Jesus comes again, man, that's going to be a cool day.
Amen.
That is going to be an awesome day because our lives will be restored. And everything that we've prayed for today to be restored will be restored.
Amen.
Right? That it will be a great day. So we should continue to pray for those things to happen. And maybe tomorrow they will be restored to wholeness. Because it is God's will. It is God's will to restore us to wholeness. It is God's will to restore the walls of Jerusalem. I might start crying, so I'm going to just I'm just going to go into this video. Plum is a group. I didn't look up her name. Just a sec. I didn't look up her name. It's a lady that is in a group called Plum. And I heard her on Caleb this week talking about her struggles. When she was a younger lady, she struggled with anxiety. And recently, she was separated from her husband for 6 months. And at the same time, probably prior to this broken relationship, she wrote this song that you're going to hear. And so then what happens when you're in a broken relationship and you're singing about being restored, it was difficult for them to release that song, that CD. And so it was delayed, and it was maybe a year and a half later when her relationship with her husband is being restored. They're back together. And God is doing a new thing in her heart and her husband's heart, of course. And she sings this song. And I want you to think about, maybe you're not dealing with a relationship, but maybe there's something in your heart that God wants to get to the root of it. Maybe there's an area in your heart where God is not allowed. And I want you to think about that part of the city or part of your heart that needs to be rebuilt and to let God rebuild it. Because He has all the resources. Let's watch.
I'm Amen.